The Selfish Path to Romance. Download Chapter 1 for free at drkenner.com and at amazon.com.
Sure you didn't put booze in there. Perhaps you should give it to my daughter. Melt that chilly disposition of hers. She won't let me see my grandson. I'm cut off from him, because I don't like her treating him like a trained poodle. I swear that boy doesn't piss without her permission. The way she frets and fusses over that boy. If only she'd let him run, let him breathe, let him live. She won't even let the poor kid ride a bicycle.
And that's from the movie Chocolat. What is so important about riding a bicycle and riding a bicycle on your own without your mother sitting in tandem with you? What is so important about sports? What is so important about whether it's swimming or whether it's being on a baseball team or a soccer team or enjoying dance? Why do we value sports so much? With me today, it is my pleasure to have Dr. Judy Van Raalt. She's a psychology professor at Springfield College in Massachusetts. She's worked with elite and professional athletes and youth sports athletes, that's kids, in the United States and around the world. She's written 4 books and presented at conferences in 11 countries. She is a certified consultant and is listed on the United States Olympic Committee Sports Psychology Registry. Welcome, Judy.
Thank you.
Why are sports so important in our lives?
Well, it's an interesting question. I think there are a lot of reasons why people really enjoy sports. And the first one we know from research with kids is sports are just fun. But sports are also challenging. So when we participate in sports, we learn, we grow, we gain skill. Sports are interesting and exciting. So we have sports heroes that are our superstars. So there are lots of reasons.
Right. You know, I think back, when I'm thinking of sports, I think of, well, my husband and I enjoy dance, but you think back to your childhood and you remember being on a team. And I can remember being the low man on a team, but you might have been on one of the swim team or a tennis team or a basketball team, and you recall such strong emotions, really strong emotions, the day your team finally won and you helped them do it, or the day your team finally lost and you help them lose. Can you explain, like, what is it about sports that makes it so important in our life? It gives us the highs and the lows, and we're even fascinated as spectators.
Well, it's an interesting question to consider why we're so involved, and I think there's a whole lot of reasons. You describe being involved in the activity and really remembering it, because We tend to remember and love the things we do. So when you think of a classroom and a teacher sitting with a chalkboard, which doesn't really exist anymore, of course it's digital technology, but watching someone else do things, it was a lot less interesting than doing it yourself. So you get involved in sport, you get better, even if you're the lowest jumper on the skating rink or the slowest runner on the field. And it's empowering to improve and do things with friends and continuously learn. So all of that is part of what makes it great. And as fans, we connect to our teams. But there's a downside, too. I think you can recall some sports teams where, for some people, sports builds character. But for other people, there's those folks where sports builds character disorders.
Oh, that's interesting. Tell me about that.
Well, I guess as a sports psychology consultant, I'm called in to work with individual athletes on problems they might have. Could be coming back from an injury, could be getting stuck improving where they had been improving before. But I also work with coaches and with groups where they're trying to perform better. And, you know, again, for some people, they really, sport brings out their best, and for other people, not so much.
So for some people, it brings out that wonderful ability to value another person, to communicate better, to really do the teamwork. You know, I was watching an episode a while ago, Dancing with the Stars, and the pros were having some difficulty with one another organizing one routine. And a football guy came in and said, you know, I'm familiar with team building. I know how to do it. I can do it. And he helped them through that moment. So for him, it was character building. But for other people, it can, as you said, it can be character disorder building, where they, do you have an example of one, of somebody who just, maybe someone that we'd all know about, who just has a character disorder, if you're at liberty to say it?
Hey, I got to interrupt this because we've got to pay some bills. 30 seconds. That's it. A very quick ad, and then Alan will be back.
Romance. Ugh, I wish guys knew more about what we want from a relationship. Boy, I wish I knew more about what I want. Where's that ad I saw? Here it is. The Selfish Path to Romance. A serious romance guidebook. Download chapter 1 for free at selfishromance.com and buy it at amazon.com. The Selfish Path to Romance. That is interesting.
Do you have an example of one, of somebody who just, maybe someone that we'd all know about, who just has a character disorder, if you're at liberty to say it?
Oh, I am so not at liberty to say. I'm
okay.
Not naming names.
Okay.
And when I work with teams and athletes, the work that we do is confidential. And that's important because sometimes the things that make people great athletes, like leadership skills and hard work and willing to go above and beyond what normally the human body can do, are great for sport performance. And other times, those skills might lead to overly aggressive play and physical injury and doing things that the rest of society might not think are acceptable. And figuring out exactly where that line is, it can be a tricky thing. And a good sports psychologist can work with athletes in a private setting to reach their goals and to perform better. And the athlete can know that what they have to say, what they're trying, thinking, and feeling is safe.
So as a sports psychologist, you do lots of different work with lots of different people. What would be one of your more interesting, I know you can't give names, but experiences as a sports psychologist, maybe working with Olympic teams, or maybe it would be a youth team?
You're right, I'm not naming names.
Okay.
But I can't tell you that one of the most typical things that happens is we find that athletes who get stuck, I guess that's what I would say, have a problem or are challenged, usually have that problem happen because they're trying to solve one problem and another problem gets created. So, for example, your team-building football player, maybe one of the ways that a college football team builds group cohesion is to all go out together after the game. And the guys have fun together, and sometimes that leads to drinking and other kinds of behavior. So they're just all trying to solve one problem, which is after all that emotional energy and hard work, and sometimes even after losing a game, how do they still stay connected? And the solution might be to go spend time together, but if that involves excessive drinking and maybe some iffy choices, then solving one problem,
causes
lack of team cohesion, may create another problem.
Right, right. And with me today, this is Dr. Judy Van Raalt. She's a sports psychologist, and she's a certified consultant and is listed on the United States Olympic Committee Sports Psychology Registry. If people want to get in touch with you, do you have a website or books that you can recommend?
Sure. They can contact me through our website. It is, our company is Virtual Brands, and the website is www.vbvideo, like Virtual Brands Video, all one word, .com.
For more Dr. Kenner podcast, go to drkenner.com and please listen to this ad.
Here's an excerpt from The Selfish Path to Romance, the Serious Romance Guidebook by clinical psychologists Dr. Kenner and Locke.
Finding the right person is hard work. Expect that most individuals you meet will not be the right one. The rewards of finding your soulmate are worth your effort. Even if you fear further rejection, never lie about yourself or withhold important information when you believe that your relationship has a future, such as withholding that you have a disease, a criminal record, or children from a former relationship. Hiding relevant information from a potential soulmate is a significant breach of trust and damaging to your own self-respect. Even if you know you might be rejected, it's better to get the rejection over with as soon as possible, since there would be no future in that relationship. The idea that what they don't know won't hurt them is wrong. It will hurt them and you too.
You can download Chapter 1 for free by going to drkenner.com, and you can buy the book at amazon.com.